That was good stuff. Had a Bible study with somebody just yesterday, a young man that needs to be saved, as a matter of fact, about the woman at the well. And, I know that story in and out. And every time I tell, it's like a fresh, and it just gets me fired up. And the details of that story is so amazing. Like when Jesus says to the woman, "Oh, you want a drink of the water?" I'm paraphrasing, right? "Go get your husband." And she said, "I don't have a husband." "Oh, that saidest thou truly, because thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thine husband." Do you know what she said? "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. How did you know that?" It's amazing how much Jesus knows about you. And he'll speak to you.
Yes.
Whew, grace exceeds. Thank you for that. I feel like I want to preach about the woman at the well. But we're not going to. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Stand with me when you find that. And we'll read our text this morning. How many of you love school? Raise your hand real high. Ooh, I love school. Oh, like six hands? Oh, less than that. Maybe three hands. Okay, Molly, good job. She has a big smile about it. How many of you, you were kind of the nerds at school too? Because you were, okay, all right. Brother, we have, okay. There's quite a few hands. Nerds. I'm glad you're admitting it. Amen. Why didn't you raise your hand? Yeah. This is the king of nerds right up here. Acts chapter 13. You know why I brought up school? Because really, that's what the church is. In a way, you've heard different metaphors, right? It's a hospital, and that's true. I heard Pastor Hardesty, I was with Brother Larry, we were at coffee, and he talked about how God used Pastor Hardesty to get him to go ahead and join the church. And Brother Larry was telling Pastor Hardesty, I just got all this sin in my life, and I can't, I'll just mess up the church if I do this. He said, "What do you think the church is? A bunch of perfect people?" "No, sir. It's a hospital, and we all need help." It's like, oh, okay, well, that made sense. Yeah. Well, it's a hospital, but it's a school. And look what happens when it's the way it's supposed to be. It's just amazing. Look at verse number 1. We'll just read through this. Our text is 2 and 3. It says, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. By the way, we unpacked that in a whole sermon. There's a lot just there. Now verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, this is the kind of church that the church in Antioch was. But isn't this the kind of church that we want to be? The kind of church that has men that are called out by God and sent out by the church to do the work of the ministry for Him? That was the church the way God intended it to be, the way the church was in Antioch. But that's the way I want our church to be. And I think everything we need to be equipped to be that kind of church is right here in these verses. And we're going to take a look at it. So pray with me if you would. Father, one more time we pray for your blessings. We need to hear from you. So I pray for your help. Guide us in your path, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I'd mentioned about school, and some of you raised your hand that you like school. And I did not like school that much. I did. There were certain things about it that I liked, like lunchtime and recess. I really enjoyed those times. And basically all the rest of it, I wasn't too much of a fan. But made it through. Hallelujah. And then God called me to be a pastor, and I went back to school. And then ever since then, I've just continually been in school, learning more and more. But I love it, and I love what God's been doing, not only in my life, but in the life of my family and in the life of our church. Now, Melissa substitute taught last week, and in school, there were some students that like being in school, and there's students that don't like being in school so much. And one of the students, she was reporting to me, this is her story to me, and now I'm reporting it to you. One of the students was sitting in class, and he was just talking about he just cannot wait for Christmas break. And he just kept talking about it. Christmas break's coming. We're going to have 2 weeks off. And now, let me give you a detail. This kid could barely fit into his desk. Okay? I mean, he was a larger kid. And when he's describing to the class, really to Melissa, saying, I can't wait for Christmas break. And then the question was asked, well, why are you excited about Christmas break? Because then I can eat tamales every day. I can eat tamales every day. Well, God has called us to a particular task. And let me tell you, church, we're not just going to eat tamales every day. That's not what our job is. It's not what our role is. We really have an important job. And you know what it is? It's to train up servants of God. God has equipped us. He's called us. That's our responsibility. And you look around at these young people in here. You know what God has called us to do? To equip them to be servants for God. You know, it's kind of neat that God gave us this message the same day we started junior church. And two new Sunday school classes. Why? Because that's what God's called us to do. To train up servants for God. And we send them over there. Why? So they can play games and eat candy. Well, maybe they'll take a few extra pieces to give to mom and dad. Never happens. We send them over there not for the games and the candy, but so they can be trained up. One of the kids reported to, I think it was Brother Joe this morning, are we going to do this every Sunday? We're going to do this every Sunday. You know, I love that the kids will get excited about coming to church. Because they need to be excited about coming to church. When you come to church, guess who you're going to learn about? You're going to learn about God. And that's what we need to learn about. We need to be equipped and strengthened and taught and trained so we can be servants for God. That's what God has for you. Look up here, young people. God wants to equip you to be a servant for Him. And you're going to be equipped here. The devil wants to distract you to keep you from being here. He wants you to stay up all night. Some of y'all are out there, and I'm teasing a few that I was seeing yawning earlier, and some of them are admitting it. Okay. Some of it comes by naturally. Listen, Pastor, I didn't stay up all night. But some young people do stay up all night. You know what they have a hard time doing on Sunday mornings? Coming to church or even being here, and much less staying awake when they're here. That's what the devil wants for you. The devil wants you to be distracted with all this other stuff. This things of the world. And look how attractive and look how good it is. When God all the time is saying, no, no, no. You don't need those things. Those things will lead you to a path that you don't really want. What you need is here. And you're going to be equipped here. But now listen, not every church is created equal with this. I'm not comparing one church to the other, and every church is different because it's the body of Christ, and every body is a different, you know, individual and personality, and churches are like that too. And our church isn't like any other church. It's Western Hills Baptist Church. It's the best church, and not every church can be the best church. In fact, no other church can be the best church, and so therefore we are in that position, right? And we're going to stay there, or at least in my opinion, that's where we are and where we will stay. And so not every church is the same, but here's what needs to happen in every church. Training and equipping and helping people to become the kind of servants so that in the future they will be a servant for God, living for Him. That's the kind of church I want. And you know, I have to tell you that God didn't really just like put this in me at the beginning. I mean, it was a vision in the beginning. Whenever I was in college, I mean, I remember when God called me to be a pastor. And then I'm in Bible college, I'm learning how to be a pastor. And I realized there that, you know, I know everything. And then when I became a pastor, I realized I know nothing. You know, and Bible college was, it felt like a total waste, although it wasn't. God equipped me with many of the things I needed there, but what I needed would be given to me when I began to serve and be what He wanted to me to be as the pastor. And then in that role, God began to give me a vision of what He would have me to do and how He would have me to lead, which, by the way, is still an ongoing learning process. You don't have a perfect pastor. I do love you, and I do want to be better. I want to be a more of a servant, less selfish and more giving and more what God wants me to be. And the longer I do this, the more I realize, wow, we need to duplicate ourselves. What do you mean by that? We need to train up servants. What's going to happen, Brother Larry, when we retire? You know, I mean, we're going to serve God for the rest of our life, but there's going to come a day I won't be able to walk up these stairs. You know, and somebody else is going to have to do that unless we get an elevator or escalator. You never know. By the time that day gets here, we might have an escalator up here. Who knows? We'll just have like a ramp, and I just go do, you know, switchbacks till I get to the platform. No. Somebody else is going to need to replace the servants of God. We need to train up young people, and we need to be the servants God wants us to be. How can we be this kind of a church? Don't we want to be this kind of church? Don't we want to be a church that God calls people out and sends them out to be servants for Him? Not just missionaries and pastors and youth pastors and song leaders and all the other things that are full-time in the ministry. How about just servants of God? Which basically is, yeah, all of us in here. All of us. Servants of God. We want to be the kind of church that equips people and trains people to be that. And we see it right here. This is what this church is doing. This is what we need, but this is what the church is doing. And by the way, we shouldn't be surprised that this is happening. Remember when the church was, you know, getting its feet and God was growing the church and it was like hundreds and hundreds. Matter of fact, there was thousands of people that were hearing the gospel. And by the way, think about back in those days, you're thinking thousands of people are getting saved. How come we can't see that today? Now don't forget, these people saw Jesus. They saw him do his work in Palestine. So the people, these thousands of people that are getting saved, they saw the works of Jesus. And when the resurrection took place and the ministry and the power of the Holy Ghost filled the men of God and the disciples of God, and they went out and they began to preach, the Holy Ghost worked through these men and thousands of people were saved. Amazing what God was doing. And then God began to work in the church so that they might fulfill the commission that he gave to them. Now, let's not forget that God didn't call us to be us four and no more. God didn't call us to, you know, win till the pews are full and then that's it. Hey, we got enough people, you know, put a sign on the door, full. You know, we got plenty. We don't need any more. That was never the attitude of the church. And that wasn't the call of God. God said, I want you to go into the world and I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. I want everybody to have a chance at salvation. You keep the doors open. You keep inviting people. Well, we don't have any more space. There's all kinds of space right here. I mean, how many of you, you'd raise your hand if we could get lost people in here. You'd sit on the ground Indian style.
Amen.
Amen. Raise your hand if you just sit on the ground because you can't do Indian style. Yeah, amen. That's me. I mean, I could do it for like 5 minutes and then I'd have to, you know, unfold my legs because I'm losing feeling, right? But I would do it. And I think that most of us do. Why? Because we need people. We wanted people to be saved. And that's why we're here. And that's what the church was. And that's what God designed it to be. And so what he did is he allowed persecution to take place. Why? Because they weren't really going out like they should. And I believe that God used the persecution of Saul, which, by the way, became one of the greatest missionaries of all time. He used him to really pole vault the church into a time of great. The Bible didn't just say persecution. He said great persecution. And in this great persecution, the church then dispersed and went north, south, east, and west because of the, you know, the harm that was coming on to the believers. And do you know what they did when they went all over the regions, north, south, east, and west? Well, they were hiding behind rocks and they were going into the basement and they were just, you know, peeking through the, you know, the window, you know, curtains. Were they doing that? No, no, no. Everywhere they went, they preached the word. And they did it unapologetically until God was fulfilling the call that they would go Jerusalem, Samaria, to Judea, and the uttermost part of the world. And he sent them out using the persecution. That was the spirit of the church. That's the spirit we need to have. That we would not just come to church and hear the gospel, but we would take the gospel and we take it to this world. You know what this world needs? It needs preaching. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. And then I want you to say amen. Our world needs preaching.
Amen.
Amen. And guess who God wants to use to do it? You. He wants to use you. You know one of the greatest preachers I ever heard growing up? This is the truth, hand in my heart. It was my mom. Man, she would preach to me. You need to read your Bible. You need to get your behind in out of bed. And I heard a lot of sermons through the years, okay? And it was a lot of work that God did through my mom. You know what? God wants to use all of us to deliver the message of hope to this world, to our children. And this was the spirit of the church. They dispersed, they went all around, and they were preaching the gospel, and nothing was stopping them. And so it shouldn't surprise us when they got to Antioch, and the church is being established, and God is working in the ministry, that this was the spirit of this church. It was a spirit of preaching. It was a spirit of preaching and teaching. You want to make a difference in this world? We're not going to do it by having... Now get this. We're not going to do it by having a 30-minute concert and a 10-minute sermon. We're not going to change the world with that. What we need is preaching. We're not going to change the world by having a pastor who will stand up here and tickle our ears and not step on our toes, but make us feel good about ourselves and only talk about, you know, the pleasant things of this life. No, we need a preacher who will declare the Word of God in such a way that the power of the Holy Ghost will show up and stir in hearts and move people towards God. That's what preaching does. And that's what changes lives. Preaching. You know, it's amazing. That's what they were doing. Look at verse 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain, you say it, prophets and? Prophets and teachers. You say, prophets, what is that? Isn't that people who predict the future? Yes, there's two meanings of the word prophets. And both, one of them, it doesn't happen the same way today, and one of them still happens today. One definition or meaning of the word prophet is he's one who predicts the future. He tells as God has declared it. And a true prophet predicts the future. And we see Daniel did this, and the prophets of old, they would predict according to what God. And there are some predictions like the gospel or the Revelation, the book of Revelation predicts the future. It hasn't happened yet. And this is a prophecy. This is prophets who declare the future. But another meaning of the word prophet is one who declares God's word or declares God's prophecy. And so the one who declares the message of God's word, the message of God's revelation and prophecy, he is a prophet. And so in that context and in that definition, if you are a preacher of the word, you are a prophet of God. And that's what we need. We need prophet preachers, don't we? We need men who would declare the word of God like the prophets of old, who would stand up and preach the word and do it unapologetically. Why? Because this is what changes lives. Teaching and preaching. That's the spirit of the church. You know what? Listen, what we want is to have the kind of church that is equipping and training people for service for God. Young people and old people alike. All age brackets. And we're considering the young people, right? But it really touches all of us because we all need to be trained. And so how does this happen? And that's what we see in the passage. Listen to this. The preaching isn't the end in itself. Here's what the preaching does. Ooh, and this is good. The preaching cultivates the moving of the Holy Spirit. The preaching of the word cultivates a spirit in the church that allows the Holy Spirit to work in hearts. That is the kind of church that's training up servants. A preaching church. A church that opens the word of God, has a man of God who's studied the word of God, and the best he can, he has prepared a message according to the scriptures and declares it with God's power through prayer and through a passion that God has put in him because it's God's message. He's made that man a messenger from him and an under shepherd of God's flock. God loves you and God's given the man of God a love for you that God has given to that man. And so the message is declared with love. And with that spirit, the spirit of preaching and the spirit of teaching, there's a training that takes place in the hearts of people. Why? Because it cultivates an atmosphere or a spirit in the church so that the spirit of God can move and work in us. Do we want to have a church that trains people? Then we need to have a church that cultivates a spirit for the moving of the Holy Spirit. I think we have that. I believe we have that. That's what we need to be concerned about. Prayer. The Bible says they fasted. It says it multiple times, as a matter of fact, in this section, they fasted. The implication there is they prayed. We need to be a praying church. We cultivate the work of the Holy Ghost in the hearts of people through our preaching and through the prayer of God's people. You know what we need to do at church? We need to pray. You know God called the house of God the house of prayer? When we're at church, we shouldn't be surprised that we pray. As a matter of fact, we should be surprised if we don't pray. This is where we need to pray. This is where we need to seek God. This is where we need to grab a hold of the horns of the altar, where we need to cry out to God and say, God, you need to do a work in me. My light is becoming dim. God, change me. Help me to be a servant for you. Help me to be a light for you in this world. God, there are those in this room that need your touch. There's some that are, I can sense, like this song, we need to throw out the lifeline. And there are some that are sinking and they're going away and we need to throw out the lifeline in our hearts. Seek God and we behoove God and we cry out to God and beg Him to work in the hearts of people. You want to have a church that has a spirit so that the Holy Ghost can move? We have a preaching church and we have a praying church. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Now, we're not going to see people surrendering, being changed, and being trained, and being prepared and equipped in this place if we're not a preaching church and not a praying church. We have to have these things. You know, what else we need is we need to be a serving church. We need to be servants. We want to equip and train up servants. We need to be servants. The Bible says in verse 2, they ministered unto the Lord. Ministered means being a servant. That's what they did. They were servants. That's what we need to be. Not just that we're training servants, we need to be servants. This room right here, I'm looking across. I mean, this is a faithful crowd right here. I mean, I look across here, I'm thinking, I prayed for all of you every day this week. And I love all of you. And this is amazing that we get to do this, isn't it? We get to open the Word of God and we get to hear from Him and we get to do this together. And the love that we can feel for each other. I mean, I can feel it. I can sense it in our relationship with each other. Some of us are going to be leaving. I just feel like you're not allowed to. Now, do it. The Hardings are going to go back and serve God. But listen, we're servants of each other. What we need to do, if we're going to have, watch, the Spirit that cultivates the work of the Holy Ghost in this place, so that when God moves in and calls out people for a work He's called them to do, like He did here, if we want that to happen here, we need to be preaching and we need to be praying, but we need to be serving each other. Love each other enough to serve each other. Don't come in here and sit down with a grumpy attitude. And I don't even say it funny, even though some of us are grumpy sometimes. We need to ask God, help me not to be grumpy. Help me to be a servant. Help me not to think about myself, but to think about somebody else. Help me to go and shake hands. I showed Silas the secret handshake. That's what we need to do. We need to show people the secret handshake. What is the secret handshake, you might wonder? Who can I ask to help me out? Let's see. Who wants to help me out? All right, Levi, come up here. Come on, Levi. No, he already knows it. I'm going to teach somebody. Come up here, Levi. Stand right here. We're going to show everybody the secret handshake. Stand right there. We got to stand close to the thing so everybody can see. This way a little bit. Don't fall off, though. Okay, face here. All right, you're grumpy. You don't want to do anything. You get up. You get around. You're going to shake everybody's hand. Show them the secret handshake. It's the fishing handshake. Just give it one good shake. And then you got them. I got one. I got one. I got one. It's the fishing handshake, right? It's the secret handshake. And now he knows it. And you know what you can do now? You can be a servant. Because you can go around and you can do that for everybody. Actually, everybody knows that one, so you got to make up a different one. Okay?
I'll think of one.
Show me what it is later, okay? Go sit down now. So, what are we saying all this for? This is the kind of spirit that needs to be in our church. Yeah. Why? Because we want to cultivate a spirit here that allows the Holy Spirit to work in hearts. We need to be a preaching church, not apologetic about it. Ooh, Pastor brought it today! I don't hear that too much, but you don't have to announce it out loud like that. But we need to love the preaching. We don't get offended when it steps on your toes. Say, I love this. I need this. Why? That's what allows the Holy Spirit to move. He works through the preaching, not through the music. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. We need it. And we need to be in prayer for each other. We need to serve each other, cultivating the work of the Holy Ghost. And then, that's number one, cultivate. We need to be a church that cultivates the work of the Holy Ghost. Number two, encouraging. We need to be encouraging. We want to see God train up and call out young people and just any people from our church. Cultivate the work of the Holy Ghost, number one. Number two, we need to be encouraging. Let's take a look at that. Look at verse number three with me. So God called them out, verse two. Look at verse three. And when they had fasted and prayed, look what it says they did. They laid their hands on them and sent them away. That is so packed with meaning. So we're going to unpack it a little bit. It says they laid their hands on them. This is not a mystical transferal of the Holy Ghost. Come up here and we're going to lay hands on you. And then a light is going to come on. That's not what it means. It just means this. We're for you.
Yes. Amen.
God's going to use you. Amen. Ooh, and I'm excited about it.
Woo!
I'm going to pray for you every day. I'm going to pray God's going to use you. God has a great work for you. when they put their hands on them, it's as though they were saying, I'm for you. I'm with you. But listen, these are not just words. I'm going to support you all along the way. I'm going to partner with you. I'm going to take care of you. I see you down. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to lift you up. I see you're struggling. I want to be there by your side to help you along. I see that you're struggling and there's a struggle that's happening in your family. I'm going to be there for you to help you along. Having a financial struggle, I'm going to help you. They laid their hands on them to say, I'm for you and I'm with you. Look at the last part of the verse. They didn't just do that, but then it says this. It says they sent them away. And when you look up the language of that, it literally means they cut them loose. Like a cord is being cut and they're allowing them to be freed. You study the language out, it's a parallel. It matches with the language that Jesus gave when Lazarus raised from the dead. Remember when Jesus came and it had been 4 days and they were upset at him? Remember about Lazarus? And the Bible says Jesus wept, but it wasn't because, you know, Lazarus has died, but because of those who didn't have the faith to see that Jesus was here. Jesus said, roll a stone away. He's dead. He stinks. Roll a stone away. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came walking out, but he's still wrapped up in the grave clothes. You know what Jesus said? Loose him. It's the same language as right here. Sent them away. Cut them loose. Take the grave clothes off. They're alive and free to move and serve and be what God has called them to be. Do you know what a church that has young people who are being called of God and they're being sent out and they have a passion and they're equipped to go forward because they've been trained. They have been in a place that's cultivated the work of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? They're in a place full of people that are behind them, that are encouraging them to do what God's called them to do. That's the kind of church I want to be. Isn't that the kind of church you want to be?
Amen.
So we have people who are called out. I remember when Luke came into my office with Brother David. This would have been over a year ago, as a matter of fact. Sitting in the office, I didn't know what this meeting was all about. And while we're sitting there, Luke said across the desk from me, I believe God's called me to be a pastor. And we rejoiced about it. We're excited for him. And I've been praying for him. And we've been praying for him. And God's going to use Luke to do a great work. Amen. You know what Luke needs? Luke needs a church that'll be behind him. That's right. And encourage him. That's right. Every step of the way. Amen. And we go, it's hard in life to stand for God every day, isn't it? Right. Let's be honest about it. The devil fights. He tempts. You know what he hates? He hates God. He hates the work of the ministry. And any person who surrendered to be in the ministry and to serve God with their life like this, they're called out by God to be a servant for God. The devil is on he's got a target on his back. The devil is determined to get him to a place where he will not be what God wants him to be. But the devil is a defeated foe. And Luke needs to learn that through encouragement, the work of the Holy Ghost constantly working in his heart every day along the way, and the work of God's people encouraging him, saying, I have my hand on you. I'm behind you. I support you. I encourage you. I'm here for you. I want to help you along the way. Let's not let the devil have victory. No, no, no. God has a work for you. I'm proud of you. And then we're at camp and God's working in Levi's heart. And I remember when we had that meeting that night, and Brother Stussy and Levi are there, and Levi announced that God has called him to be in the ministry. And we rejoiced, didn't we? Mom and Dad rejoiced, and we rejoice together with them. You know what Levi needs? He needs us to support him. Amen. He needs us to encourage him. Yes. To pray for him. To be there. To be behind him. Mother's Day, May, this year. Some strange looking guy with a long beard showed up at church. Sat over here in the corner under that window over there. And I looked over there and I thought, man, who is that guy? Mother's Day, of all days, the next day, he gives me a call. Pastor, I need to meet with you. We met, got saved the day after Mother's Day, Brother Chris. And in July, I don't remember what day it was in July, a couple weeks into July, sitting in, he's, Pastor, I need to meet with you. I need to meet with you. I'm like, okay, we'll meet. Let's get together. We're sitting in the office. Pastor, God's called me to be in the ministry. You know what Brother Chris needs? He needs us to be for him, to support him. He needs preaching. He needs prayer. He needs servants. He needs us to encourage him, to put our hands on him. We're for you. There's a work to be done. If you don't answer the call, who will? Paul and Barnabas, if you don't go, who will? We need you. Then a couple weeks ago, family devotions on Sunday night, Grant says, I have an announcement. I think God's called me to be a missionary. And we rejoiced. You know what Grant needs? Other than a spanking every so often? No. No, he doesn't need that. He doesn't need that. God can take care of that, right? And dad sometimes. No. He needs us to be for him, to support him. You know why we've had four people surrender to be in the ministry in the past couple of years? Because everything we've talked about is what our church is. Because if our church wasn't already this, then we wouldn't have four people who've surrendered to be in the ministry. Do you know what our church does? We preach the word. Cultivate the work of the Holy Ghost in people's lives. We pray. And we're servants. And I'm telling you, I'm looking from this end all the way to this end, and what I see is a lot of people who love this place and who are servants. Should we be surprised that God's calling people out? Because we're doing what God wants us to do. We need to encourage each other. We need to be behind each other. But let's not just think that God's only calling four people out and the rest of us are off the hook. Oh, no. This is the responsibility of the church to train up servants. Yes, God calls out specific people for a specific role in ministry, but all of us are to be a part of the process of training and preparing and equipping those to be servants. And God wants to use us. He wants to use us. It's an amazing that God wants to use us. He is using us. He wants to keep using us. I love that we get to do this. I love the opportunity we have. Here's what I want us to remember never to become: a church that wants to sit around and eat tamales. I like tamales, though. All right, Miss Martha, you remember that. I love tamales. She makes amazing tamales. Let's not sit around and eat tamales. We need to be at the work. Training, equipping, and letting God do His work through Western Hills. Amen. You say, Pastor, I'm not always here. You need to be here. Unless you're not able to be here providentially, be here. Why? Because we need the preaching. We need it. And how can you encourage somebody if you're not here? We need to encourage each other. We need to pray for each other. Let's be servants to each other. God, help me to be this tonight. Help us to be the kind of church that cultivates this kind of spirit so that you'll keep calling more out. I think God's not done calling people out, do you? I don't think He is.